This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We have many different parshas and halachas. Like every other parsha, it consists of many different parshas. And when you look at the parshas on a regular parsha, not always you see the connection. Yet, we know that there is a connection. And many mefarshim discuss the kiruv parshias, why one parsha comes after another. Sometimes even the Chazal it's already explained and interpreted why one parsha is next to another. In parshas Emor, you wouldn't need much, so to speak, genius to figure out the Seder and the connection of the parshias. It goes from Kahuna to the Bas Yishkayin that does Nus. Then it goes to the Kohen Gadol. And then it goes to Karban. It talks about the Karban. And then it talks about Matim Mechal Kodesh. Loichal Hashem Kachi, Ashehem Akdishim Yenei Hashem. And then the Pasuk speaks about Sheretz, Tmeya. And then we have the Parsha of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. And then we have the Mayadim. The connection is obvious. It's all about Kodesh. The entire Emor is about Kodesh and Kedusha. The halacha is how we're supposed to deal with Kedusha. The Kohen with his Kedusha, the Yisrael with the Karban, the name of Hashem V'lo Yischal V'Shem Kachi, and even Mayadim, which follow, even the Mayadim, Mikrei Kodesh. That's how the Pasuk starts. Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'marta Aleyem Mayadei Hashem Asher Tikru Oysam Mikraye Kodesh. So again, the theme is Kodesh. Kodesh. As a matter of fact, we have a little bit of a parsha at the end of the Mayadim, which talks about the Menorah. If you look, it says, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, v'yikwe lecha shem and zayizach. All the way at the end of the parsha, after the Mayadim, about the Shemen Zayis. Now, where is the Kodesh over there? So, rather, it's interesting, a note, an interesting footnote, that Bnei Yisrael brings down that this parsha of the Shemen Zayis at the end of the Mayadim is actually a remez for Chanukah. Even though Chanukah is not min haTorah, Chanukah is midrabanan, but it's a remez. It's a remez in this part. Why? The Shem and Zayich lahalis ner one, and then it continues. Michutz aparei b'mo yarechay samer ba'beik v'netuchah alam yarechay saneirays. The plural, and the answer is like Chanukah. It goes from one, and Moisa v'hoylich is a remez for Chanukah in the Mayadim. And even that we know is Kodesh. We say, Haneiris halalu Kodeshim. Ve'ein lanu reshus l'shtamish b'hem. So again, Kodesh. Mayadim, Kodesh. And then we have, all the way at the end, we have the Mekalel also. He was Nekiv Shem Hashem. He used the name of Hashem and he desecrated it. Desecration of the name of Hashem, Kedusha, through Mekalel. Kodesh, 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 Kodesh. Parshas Emor is all about Kedusha. Yet, if you look a little deeper into the parsha, you'd notice that it doesn't only tell me the law of protecting Kodesh, but it also emphasizes on the training, on the... Let me try to get the right word for it in English. It also emphasizes on the gisha, the approach, that one needs to take to, for Kodesh in order for him to actually be Nizer in Kedusha and Kodesh. The Torah already teaches us how, not only what we have to do, but how one should accomplish that feat, end result that he keeps the Kodesh. I'd like to point to the fact that many times in the Parsha, it ends with Kani Hashem Mekadishchem. To say there constantly, we'll find it, Kani Hashem Mekadishchem, Kani Hashem Mekadishchem. And I believe the Torah is telling us that it's not enough to be commanded to do, to protect, but you also got to understand why, and that will help you protect the Kodesh. If you understand it's Kani Hashem Mekadishchem, that I am the source of Kedusha, and by protecting Kedusha, you're protecting my name, and understanding your Kedusha is my Kedusha. Like, for example, we say, Bayimoyadim, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yazmanim. So Kedusha means I make you Kedusha, and therefore you have to protect your Kedusha, Kani Hashem Mekadishcha. To put some air, it's getting very hot. Maybe the air conditioner.
Open the door, yeah.
I'm like you.
Very hot.
You drink coffee, make you hot.
And this, you said, this lesson, I feel, is constantly repeated in Parshas Emor. It's not enough just to command, be heilig, protect Kedusha, stand for a life of Kedusha, without understanding and appreciating and to be given a haracha of what it means to live b'Kedusha, it's not going to work. And therefore the Torah constantly repeats the Kani Hashem Mekadishcha. Why does it have to repeat a Kaseder after every, you'll notice, after every Parsha Emor, Kani Hashem Mekadishchem, Kani Hashem Mekadish, Kani Hashem, and the reason is because the command, without the understanding and the haracha, the appreciation behind why, no one's going to keep it. And with this I show you, even the first Rashi points to this. In the pasuk we have that Moshe is told, Emor lakahanim b'nei aharon, v'amarta aleihem lenefesh, lo yitama b'yama. So the first question is, b'nei aharon, of course, the kahanim, we know we're b'nei aharon, so Rashi brings down from the Teiris Kahanim, b'nei aharon, yachal chalalim, tamalim ha-kahanim. So then why does that say b'nei aharon? Just say ha-kahanim. Av bali mum b'mashma. To teach me kehanim, even bali mum. And then it's b'nei aharon, another limud, v'loi b'nei saharon. So it says for the reason of teaching me even a bali mum, but not a girl. B'nei aharon is redundant, yes, but it's to teach me this limud. Al pi drush, and if you look tak in the svarim, each to its own, says a different pshat. The Mepharshim, why it has to emphasize Kehanim, B'nei Aharon. And I'd like to say a pshat of our own, but I'd like to first point out the first Rashi. Emor el Kehanim, says Rashi, Emor v'amarto lahazir g'day l'malaktanim. That the elders are supposed to come and teach the little ones, the youngsters, the Ketanim. The question, of course, is every mitzvah is that way. There's a mitzvah chinuch in every mitzvah that the elders should be mechanech to teach the younger. If that doesn't happen, how is the Torah supposed to live on from generation to generation? Avad, there's a mitzvah chinuch. So why here, specifically, by Tumas Kahuna, the Kayin has to lahazir, a special tzivui, lahazir, to command the older Kehanim to teach the Ketanim? I would say that maybe here's the Raisa. Normally, chinuch is only drabanan. Only mitzvah d'rabbanan chinuch. And here it's the raisa, which would be the question, why? Why specifically here would there be a mitzvah min ha-Torah? Another question, lafrushim yisura might be the raisa as well. It's very possible that if you see a child doing an aveira, that's not chinuch. Chinuch is to make him do a mitzvah. But to stop him from doing an aveira, that would be anyway required min ha-Torah. It's a shaila. It's not to get into the whole detail of the halacha right now. So then the question is again, here's lafrushim yisura. You want that the child, the kohen, shouldn't become tamei. He shouldn't go to the beis hakfaris. So of course there's a mitzvah lahazir gdoilim alaktanim. What's the chiddush? Famous question. What is this Rashi, which is quoting Gemara Yevamos Kuf Yudalid? What's the chiddush? What is added by this lahazir, which is not by any other mitzvah? Why does the Torah teach us specifically, gedolim, it is your responsibility to teach the ketanim, to teach them and to educate them, not to be the Talmud of Lameis? I would say pshats like this, Rabbi Yisrael. The child, the kohen's, is growing up a lot different than his friends. He is destined to a different lifestyle than everybody else. In order for him to accept it, it has to come from the fact that he sees it by his father. If by the father it's important, if by the father this is a mitzvah which is kept with adherence, with zrizus and zehirus, with the proper respect and proper love for the mitzvah, then the child will do it. If not, the child will never accept it, no matter how many times I command him to do it. It needs to come from hashpa, from seeing his father. You want a kid to be different. You want him to be a child of a kohen. It's a big achrayus. It's a different life. It's a life of precious. Lahazir gedolim alaktanim, to teach the gedolim that the way they keep the mitzvah is going to be already the result in how the children keep the mitzvah. You want your son to be a ben Torah, you have to show chashivus for Torah. If the child picks up from the father that it's not a chashiv, it's not something that the father deeply respects and has a haracha for, he could send his son to the best yeshivas in the world. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And at the home, the subtle differences of speech, of the way the father talks about life of Torah, a life of Avoida, Shul, Tamid Chachomim, the subtleties. It doesn't have to be specific, strong, you know, speaking against Torah, you know, you don't need that. But even the subtle gestures, is he marich, is he not marich, the son picks up on it. And then, and only then, if the father is lahazig doilim, that the father keeps it strict, then the children will keep it strict. If the father keeps it with harocha, with haracha to what he's doing, with appreciation, with respect, then the child will keep it that way. I've told you over many times a story which is a big limud, a big lesson. It's told that there was a child in yeshiva that got a smack from a Rebbe and was taken to the principal for saying the worst thing possible. What did he say? The Rebbe wanted to bring out that the children should all scream and proclaim, Torah is the greatest thing. So the Rebbe said, tell me, Kindelach, what's greater than Torah? What's more important than Torah? So everybody said, nothing, Torah is the most important thing. One kid raised his hand and he said, the chant on Shabbos, that's more important. The Rebbe gave him a smack. Thought he was playing around. Thought he was making chokes. So he goes, no, no. I mean, Rebbe, why you hit me? I takes him to the Menal. The Menal is completely in shock. What's the kid talking about? He says, why are you making jokes? He says, I'm not joking. So why would you say a thing like that? He says, I don't know. Every time I want to say the Dvar Torah that the Rebbe gives me to say, you know, the Kleh, to say by the table, my father says, no, 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 first comes the chant. First we have to eat the chant. So I figure the chant was more important than the Dvar Torah. Did the father mean that the chant is more important than the Dvar Torah? Of course not. But it's in the subtle reactions, the respect that the father has for the Torah will come through. In subtle behaviors and talk and whatnot, and the children pick up on it. I recently spoke to a little boy asking him if he learns on Shabbos. He tells me, no, he doesn't really learn on Shabbos. He plays with his friends. So I said, you don't learn on Shabbos, but Mustam, you do mitzvahs. So the child says, yeah, I do mitzvahs. I said, what mitzvahs do you do? So he says, I talk during Kriyas HaTorah. So he tells me, I talk during Kriyas HaTorah. I go, what? What are you saying? So he says to me, yeah, my father told me it's a mitzvah to talk during Kriyas HaTorah. I said, your father told you the mitzvah to talk during Kriyas HaTorah? He says, yeah, my father always says, the Rav says, you're not allowed to talk Kriyas HaTorah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's a mitzvah to talk. Why? It's called Ben Gavra LeGavra, which is Ben Adam LeChaveri, between man and his friends. So there's a time for Ben Adam LeChaveri during Kriyas HaTorah. Ben Gavra LeGavra means between one Aliyah and another Aliyah. It's called in the Lashon HaPaiskim, Ben Gavra LeGavra, between one person who got up to the Aliyah to the second. So the father was joking, and he said, Ben Gavra LeGavra, Ben Adam LeChaveri. Little did he realize that his kid took him serious. He picked up on it. The fakir, it's a mitzvah to talk during Kriyas HaTorah. No. What's the lesson? We might be joking a little bit, but for the fact that we can even joke like this, the child picks up, and the next step is he talks and he thinks it's a mitzvah to talk during Kriyas HaTorah. If the father personifies the importance of Kedushas Kahuna, if the father is careful to talk about it with sensitivity and shmira and zahirus, and he does it, they say over for Amesh, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And he said, why was it that the early Jews in America, a lot of the children, went off and didn't keep the Shabbos? What happened? You know, in Europe, under the worst of circumstances, people kept Shabbos. So Ramesh said that it was based on the fact that the father would come home from shul, and he would krechts, he would bemoan, it's schwer zu sein a Yid, it's difficult to be a Jew. It's schwer to keep the Shabbos. The child picked up on that. And he said, okay, I'm not interested. If the father comes home, and instead of saying, it's geschmack, it's gewaldig, how lucky I am, how privileged I am to keep the Shabbos, then the children will keep the Shabbos under the most difficult of circumstance. The achrayis of the father in the chinuch of the child is not only to talk v'amarta, but it's also emer, which means in his way of keeping the mitzvahs is a lot of the v'amarta. A big part of emer, how many times you tell your child and you tell him, do as I say but not as I do. No, what do you expect supposed to happen with that? Emer, Vamarta. The Vamarta, how do you tell the child? It's got to be with the Emler on how you keep it. Lahazir Gedolim Alaktanim. And this is the theme I'm trying to bring out in the Parsha. It's not enough to be Mitzaveh, that you must keep. You must be careful in the Kedusha. But you also have to bring it as example. You have to teach it in a way that it's exalted and special appreciation, that the child should gain an appreciation for it. Otherwise it can't be kept. It's impossible. I'd like to quote to you a Meiridik of Ben Ishchai that I saw. And I think it's one of the most beautiful things, beautiful vertlachai I've ever seen and heard. The Pasuk says, the Kiddashtay. No, the Kiddai Shemiyu. Kiddai Pasik Vav. Kiddai Shemiyu Lele Hekayim. Lo Yichalu Hashem Lekayim. Ki Es Isha Hashem Lechem Hakrivim Vahayu Kaidish. It's extra, it's redundant, it's Kefil Halashen. Says Kiddai Shemiyu. Why does it have to repeat and end with Kaddish Yiyu? That's what it says. Kiddai Shemiyu. Says the Ben Ishchayim, Meir Dikazach, beautiful. He gives a mashal. A king takes two people and he commands them to wear royal clothing. Clothing that emblem and resemble the Malchus. Clothing of royalty. One was a person who worked with the king. He was a Mishares of the king. The other was a farmer. Neither of the two kept. Neither of the two kept at sea with the command of the king. Who would the king be more upset at? Would he be more upset at the person who works under the kingship, under the kingdom, or the farmer? Says the Ben Ishchai, of course, the person who works with the king. Why? The person who's the farmer, he don't get the whole thing anyway. So it was just a tzivui, a command. So he didn't do it. But the other one, he should know better. He should appreciate, understand what it means, the Malchus, and to represent the Melech. So on him, it's a stronger taina. Says the Ben Ishchai, that's what the Pasuk wants. Kedoshim Yiyu. Why? V'hayu Kodesh. They have to understand who they are and what they represent. Which is really what I'm explaining to you, Rabbi. It's not enough to tell a person, live a lifestyle. But first you have to teach them to appreciate what that lifestyle means and how he represents the Melech. And therefore he's privileged to live such a lifestyle. V'hayu Kodesh means that I'm from with them. It has to come from them. It's not enough if I tell you Kedoshim Yiyu. That they should understand and appreciate their tafkid, their service to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, why they were zeicha picked for that. I would like to tell you all about Meri Dikavar for Rav Shach, and I show you the connection of the parashas. You see, I'm trying to get to you, to give you to understand that the parasha wasn't just a tzivui of Kedusha, but it was already trying to teach you that you must appreciate that Kedusha. And that's why it stresses, Ki'ani Hashem Ekadishchem. We have Kiddush Hashem Echil Hashem. V'lo yisachalu v'nigdashti. Asks Rav Shach an interesting question. Kiddush Hashem, the honor of the Rebbeinu Shlim, right? How many times do we talk about the COVID of Hashem? Honor, honor, honor. Is the Rebbeinu Shlim such a COVID for us? Sir? He's that much COVID? Excuse the expression. Does the Rebbeinu Shlom need so much to the point that he requires the child to burn himself at its stake, to put himself into a fire for the covenant of the Eibishter? So asks Rav Shach, what is Kiddush Hashem about? Why are we mechuyev to give up our lives for covenant? Covenant. Later on in the shiur, we're going to learn akina v'atayva covenant. Mitzina sonam. It's not a good thing. Covenant. Why is it such a big emphasis to be makpid on the covenant of the Rebbeinu Shlom? Thak Rav Shach, it's not for the Rebbeinu Shlom. Trust me, says Rav Shach. The Rebbeinu Shlom does not need your covenant. He's mechubid without you anyway. What the Rebbeinu Shlom wants is that you, who live a life of Torah mitzvahs in a way of honoring Hashem, to understand how important is Hashem's honor, that you should understand how important your role is, that you were chosen to serve and protect the Rebbeinu Shlom's honor. It's about you. It's about the person. He should understand the privilege that he has. And that is, if you understand the Rebbeinu Shlom's honor, you were chosen to protect that honor. Then you serve with loyalty and devotion. Because you realize how important your job is. Kiddush Hashem, says Rav Shach, is not the Rebbeinu Shloim needing that we should honor him, but the Rebbeinu Shloim wants that we should understand the importance and how far the Rebbeinu Shloim's honor is important, that one should give up his life for it, and mainly you'll understand your tafkid, how special and how important it is that you were chosen to be the secret service of the king. It's a privilege if you understand what the king means. If you understand that you were chosen for this job, then you'll appreciate the Hayu Kaidish. And this is what we're speaking, that the pshat is that a person needs haracha. A person needs to appreciate the job that was given to him, that he's different and special, and then he's able to live a lifestyle of Kedusha and Precious. Otherwise, it can't be. Now I go back to the original question. I asked you a question. Why does it say Elakehanim B'nei Aharon? Why does it say B'nai Aharon? It could be the pshat is, tell the Kehanim, you know who you are. You're B'nai Aharon. You know the name you carry. You know the lineage you come from. As we call people, B'nai G'daylim. He's a Ben G'daylim. You come from a great lineage. You represent a great lineage. You're the children of Aharon. And you gotta so carry yourself with dignity and honor. And you should look at it as a privilege. And that's why the Pasuk says, Amar al-Kehanim, that's part of what you should teach them. Because it's not enough to command them and say, I want you to behave a certain way. It needs that you should also appreciate, and in your own eyes, respect the job and the achrayus that's on you. Otherwise, you can't do it. You know, it's an interesting thing we have in the parasha, the Bas Kayin, Kisecha Liznais, Esavia, he mechalelas. So the fact that she behaves a certain way, that's a chilul in the Kaidish of the Kayin. I mean, how is it a chilul in the Kaidish? So Rashi says, because people are going to walk around saying, ah, look at this guy's daughter. And somehow they're tying it back to him. Okay? So it could be that itself is the Chil Hashem. So it could be that itself is the Chil Hashem, even if you're not responsible. Even if you're not responsible. Which teaches me how far one is supposed to be careful that he isn't Goyer Mechil Hashem. Which means that even where it's not your fault, but somehow it's connected to you, it's already called a Chil Hashem. Chayr. We could come and say that the Bas Yishkayin, the fact that people say, you know what the Kayin could say? What do you want? Don't say it. What do you want from me? And do it. And the answer is, yeah, but it's in your name. It's coming. So somehow you're affiliated with the Chil Hashem, which teaches me how careful one has to be when it comes to Chil Hashem, that he shouldn't have any connection to it whatsoever. Is it only bad kain? No. Marie Brunner, Charles Chumas Marie Brunner, it's brought down that this is not only a din by a kain. Any person whose daughter was Mizana, who does Bas Kain, does the same thing, he's not allowed to be a shliach tzibur for the Amud. It's learned from this pasuk, says the Marie Brunner, he say chaliz, you become a chalal. It's a stain on the father. It's Chil Hashem. So you see, it's not only the kahuna, it's a general halach. Even a Yisrael, if they walk around saying, look at his daughter, he can't be a shliach tzibur. It's an achilul. It's a stain on the Yisrael. That's what the Marie Brunner paskens. I have a question, Rabbi Yisrael. Let's say, not znus. Let's say a person's child did avodah zarah. He went off the derech. Not znus. Is it the same halacha? You would say, yeah, why not, right? In Shulchan Aruch, that Paskin, that a kohen whose child does avodah zarah, yisas kapov. He could still be kohen that goes up to do birchas kohanim. Ask the Magen Avraham, he doesn't understand why is it different than znus. Why is it that the Kayin, whose child is an Oved Avodah Zarah, that's okay, the Kayin is not a Cholom. But by Znus, he becomes a Cholom. Says the Shailu Meshiv, Rav Datan Zan, was from the famous Poiskim a few hundred years ago. Yes, this brings us Magen Avram's question, and he says, Alpi Aran, the Drashas Aran, we can answer the question. And that is, in Drashas Aran asks the question, Avram Avinu was so careful that he wanted to go for a Shidduch for his son to his family. Who's his family? Lavan. Right? Frank Duran, and that's better. Canaan, no good. Lava, oh, that's good. That's Lava's Avodah Zarah. Eliezer comes to Lavan's house. What do they say? Anochi Pinisi Abayis. He had to clean out all the Avodah Zarah. Umakala Gemalim. I think even the Mepharshim say the Gemalim didn't even want to go in there. The Gemalim was so sensitive to the overwhelming tumah that was there that even they couldn't even enter. Yeah, Meirdik. You told him in a house of Avodah Zarah. Frank Duran, that's, yeah, good for a Shidduch. Hey, imagine you say a Shidduch. Oh, yeah, the Bacha, this and that. It's one problem, you know, he goes to church and, you know, if you put that on the resume, imagine the collar. Pretty this, that. Family, somewhat related, very good. And she goes to church, and she's a choir girl in her local church. You would go, and even if not her, but her father, yeah, the mechutin is a, you know, he's a galach, he's a bishop. Would you do such a shidduch? You'd run the other way. What are you talking about? Zakdiran. Says the Ran, Avodah Zarah doesn't go Birusha from father to son. Just because the father did Avodah Zarah doesn't mean the son's going to do Avodah Zarah, and vice versa. Bad Midas. That's in the genes. So he didn't want Canaan because of the Bad Midas. Avodah Zarah will work with Rivka. She'll come to our house. She'll see what the life of Torah is. She's not going to want that by the Zara. But the Midas, if it's not from the parents, Znus is a chisar in the Midas. Znus means hashchas. It means it's a degradation in the humanity of society. That we can't have. That's bas ish kayin kisei chaliznais. If the kayin has a son who does by the Zara, okay, well, what does that do with the father? What do we see from his vart? That it's directly connected to the father. Directly connected. It's not just that because people are going to say, it's your fault. Somehow in your bad midas, it was gairim that the bas kayin should be seichel liznais. Huh? Connection because midas. The midas of the parents are going to be in the children. That's the connection. The Midas are genetically transferred from father to child. The Mela. We have to make sure, not Canaan, but to the house of where there were good Midas. Lavan, quote unquote, had better Midas, obviously, than Canaan. You can imagine how bad the Midas of Canaan were already, okay? If Lavan's called a tzaddik Midas, could you imagine how bad Canaan is? But all right. Point being, I have a question. Okay. There's a halacha that a child of Nida is called Tes Nashim, that the Midas are no good. It says clearly, the traits of a child that's born from a chibur of a husband or wife, Nida, the child will have bad Midas. So what do we do with all the Bali Tshuva then? Should you stay away from a Baal Tshuva because obviously you're going to have bad Midas? They're B'nai Nida. Ramesha Shiva Zatzal addresses this Shaila.
Leave it a couple of minutes, leave it like that.
And there's, don't listen to him. Don't pay attention. Shiva Zatzal, you hear? Sattara Shiva Zatzal, that if we see that the person has good Midas, we could take on that it's not a Ben Nida. It's not a Bas Nida. It's not a child of Nida. but the parents weren't frum. She never went to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh. How did she go to the mikveh? She went to an ocean. She went swimming. And even though she was wearing a bathing suit, it's not a chatzitza. Yeah, chatzitza, not a... She's through that, she was probably not in need. And the child was born after that. That's what Ramesh says. It has to be, he says. And what happens if the woman knows for sure? the child was born in the middle of the winter. What do you do then? The child was born in Russia in the winter. Yeah. 20 degree weather. No one went swimming then. What do you do? I would say a pshat like this, Chantaisai. Midas, the same way they come as a result of the parents, they're also changeable depending on the appearance also. Avodah Zarah, you're right, doesn't go from father to son, but it also can't change from father to son. It's almost, meaning, just because a person believes in Hashem, it doesn't guarantee that his son will believe. It doesn't guarantee. But if a child sees a parent, that good midas, a child grows up in a home where the midas are good, you could be pretty sure that the midas will be good. So just like the ben nida starts with bad midas because of the matziv, but it's very, very possible that it's also changeable depending on the attitude of the parents. This, Rabbi Yisai, is a tremendous lesson. Depending on how a parent behaves at home, it becomes the derech on how the child behaves. So in everything, in ruchnius, in prishus, in the midas, if the child sees a dugma from the father, the hashpa'ah becomes very strong. You know, in halacha, it's interesting. It's brought down that Bali Tshuva might not have to follow their father's and mother's minhagim. They could follow their Rebbe's minhag. The Rebbe becomes like a parent. When a Baal Tshuva becomes a Talmud of a Rebbe, could be the hashpah for the fact that the Rebbe now becomes the father and his midas get transferred to the child. And that's the answer to the question. Avada ben Nida, without working on the midas, are going to be bad midas. But midas are changeable with the hashpah of the people they hang around. Lahazir gedoylim alaktanim, how a person lives his life, and how a person looks and views a life of Torah and mitzvahs and midas and menschlichkeit, it all is what he sees by the parents. You know, I wonder today, we find a lot of chil Hashem, unfortunately. Is it because the media is much greater today and we are in access to so many more? Maybe because we're able to hear more. In those days, we didn't hear. We only heard local. Well, maybe there is a change in us. Something in us changed that our forefathers were so nizer chil Hashem to the point that they were mekadeshem shemayim. That they jumped into ovens to be kaddish, to sanctify and glorify the Shem Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlom's honor. And today, as we don't. So I'm thinking maybe it comes from the Yetzahar of America that seeps in and is mashpia on us tremendously. America's about equality, equal rights, and to their credit, Baruch Hashem, they're into equal rights. It's a tremendous milah for them. But the Yid who starts believing in that starts thinking that he's just like the guy. If we're all created equal, yeah, but you're not created equal. It's not true. Maybe externally we're all created equal, but internally we have a different DNA. We're Avdei HaMelech. We have a different job. We have a different tafkid. Had we only understood when we went into business deals and business day and business world that we have a whole different DNA. We're created for a whole different purpose. Then we would be more careful in the Kiddush of Chil Hashem. We don't see anything different than us and the Goy. I'll explain to you what I mean. I once asked my Rebbe, Rav Rosenblum Shlita, if someone passes a red light, a Jewish guy passes a red light, is that a Chil Hashem? Why? The guy who's standing there is going to say, ah, look at that Jew, look at the way he drives, look at that Jew, you dirty Jew, you drive, right? But you think to yourself, yeah, but you also go through the red light. Well, I'm a dirty Jew because I go through the red light. It has to do with the fact that I'm Jewish, that I went through the red light. You go to a theater, right? And I want to discuss now, if you're allowed to go, you're not allowed to go, okay? From where I come from, you're not allowed to go, okay? Let's get the cards on the table, as they say. All right? You're not supposed to go. If you go to the theater, right? And then somebody, a guy who says, look at that guy with the pay, look at the... You say to yourself, yeah, but you're also in the theater. What do you... Why am I different than you? What are you making fun of me for? Here, the way I do in business. Yeah, but everybody does that. Mm. You have to hate Jews, so therefore you say, oh, good, dirty Jew. So that's not do me. That's a Chil Hashem. That's you. That's your anti-Semite. Is that maybe not called a Chil Hashem because it's not something that's derogatory that they don't do? Bishlam might do something which is evil, which they look at and they're looking, look at the E doing this. But if it's something that's a red light is evil, said Rav Rosman to me, no, you're misunderstanding Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem means that we're different, that we're more special. We have different code of laws and ethics. And yes, it is a Chil Hashem to do anything which has a priority of it's not yosher, it's not right, it's not the practical, glatta thing to do. And even though it's the whole world does it. And just because they hate me, they talk about it. It's still a Chil Hashem. I learned a tremendous lesson from this. Kiddush Hashem and Kedusha means that we're different, special. And we have to understand that we're special and that we're different.
Very special.
And if we don't appreciate and have this proper respect for who we are, and what we're supposed to do in this world, and the schus that we have for it, it can't be done. You know, every morning we make a bracha, shalai yasani goy. Every morning. What should you think when you make that bracha? I used to grow up thinking the Bowery. I don't know if you remember the Bowery. My father used to take us to Ramesh Zecher Tzadik Levracha. We would go over the bridge. And then there was the Bowery. People would lay on the floor with bottles in paper bags, vomiting all over the floors. The Bowery. Some of you are looking at me, you don't even know what it is. You can thank Giuliani for that. Mayor Giuliani came and cleaned up the Bowery. It was my day Bowery, and when we used to make the breakfast, last sunny guy, I would think, look at the guy. The Bowery bum. The Bowery bum. So I came to yeshiva. I was taught from Rav Baruch Berra. Baruch Berra would say that when he made the bracha shalai asani guy, you know what he would think? He would think the czar, the president, the v'chule v'chule. Okay, in his day there was no president, but the czar and this and... Okay. The honorable guy. And still he would say shalai asani guy. And yet I wasn't sure what that meant either. Did he mean to say that even the most honorable guy is dishonorable compared to a yid? Trust me, the Tsar has plenty of skeletons in his closet. The president, they're not even in the closet, they're out in the open. That you're not what the president is, isn't much, right? It doesn't say much for you. Also, I want to say this. I want to explain to you that he didn't mean that even the Shenster guy is mius, is ugly compared to what the Yid is all about. And then I started to realize as time went on and the more I learned that he was saying something even deeper. It's not about the flaws of the guy, even if the guy has no flaws. Even if the guy is an honorable guy. He didn't mean to say, compared to the drunk in the street, Mashenki compared to a chasher, and I'm such better. He was saying even better than that. He was saying even deeper than that. That even if he is the most honorable, respectful, and pure guy, Yet you realize what you are. You're Ben HaMelech. You're the king. You're the son of the king. You're Banim Lamakim. Don't you get it? It's important that we instill in our children. Where it's important we instill in our children lahazir gedoylim alaktanim, what it means kedusha, and when we give them to understand what is kedusha, what is a life of kedusha, then they will keep the laws of kedusha properly. Then they'll be able to live a life where they respect who they are and their tafkid of what they were chosen to do, and they will keep it. Lahazik adaylam alaktan. I'd like to also bring out, part of the chisaron that we have is that we don't instill in our children the kedusha, the life of kedusha, and the appreciation of it. I also think that not even about the kedusha, just about life in general. Parents don't convey the proper appreciation of life. There's two different things. The appreciation of a life of Torah and mitzvahs, that's one thing. And I think another part of the downfall that we have, there's such unhappiness, there's so many kids at risk, there's so many issues out there. That's based on not even giving the proper appreciation to life in general. And I want to point to a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shloisha Dvarim, three things. Omer Eblezar Kafa, Hakinav, Hatayiv, Hakovid, Moitzin Es Adam, Min Ailam. It takes a person out of the world. Kina, jealousy. Taiva, lust. Kavid, the want of honor. Which world are we talking about? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we're talking about the next world. Hakina v'atayv. We keep saying on this Mishnah. Hakina v'atayv v'akovin maitzina sa'adam in Ailan.
About
the next world. You look at the Tveres Yisrael. He says not that way. The Yavitz. It means this world. This world and the next world. So I always had a question. If it means this world, then you know what maitzi means. Because you're here. And it takes you out. You die. But if it means next world, so it's not moitzi, it just means you don't get it. Moitzi means it takes you out of there. You don't take it out of there, you just don't enter. Right? Interesting question. If it means the next world, why does it use a wording of moitzi? It should just say it doesn't machnis, it doesn't let you go in.
See, if you're in, you're going to take you out.
All right? But you're not in there. You're here, you die, and you don't go there. So that means you're not moitzi. If it means the next world, it's not moitzi. So I thought maybe Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak Leilam Haba. We have it, we own it. It's as if it's ours in the bank. So Maitzi means like Maitzi and Muchsik, which means it takes it out of my hand. That's called a Maitzi. Shh, relax, Rabbi Yisrael. It's my job to say the Shir. It's not your job to say the Shir. It's your job not to bother me when I say the Shir. That's your job. So what does a Maitzi mean when you have a Muchsik? You have a mitzi, right? So could be I'm the mufsik, meaning I own Eilam Abba in my pocket. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam, they have it now. Yeshlam, I mean they will have. That's how I understood it. Reb Shlomo Kluger says a mirid gechiddush. Kina taiva kovid is different than any other aveira, quote unquote, that you do, because there you don't go into Eilam Abba. Kina taiva kovid, you go. They take you into Eilam Abba, and then they take you out. They take you in, and then they might see you. Why? Why do they have to bring you in to take you out? You know, there's a very famous story, my Zaydi Seover, a blaze of silver, a tzaddik levracha, was charismatic, dynamic, and very hot in pursuit of his shitas. You know, he used to get very worked up. And he had different opinions with other gedolim. You know, they always used to have issues, fighting, you know, controversies. So one of the Asifas Rabbonim, one of the Rosh Hashivas that he used to fight with, he went at him strongly. You know, and he said this and he said that and it's not true and I'll show you. And he was working himself up to a frenzy till he got so worked up and he gave a scream. We have to take this Rosh Hashiva. And they got to throw him out of the meeting. So they whispered to him, but he's not here. So bring him in and vav the marais. Bring him in and throw him out. He wanted they should bring him in, so they should throw him out. That's what the Mishnah means. Bring him into Olam Haba so we can throw him out of Olam Haba. What is the Mishnah according to Reb Shlaima Kluger? He says an interesting pshat rabbeis. You know what he says? He says, we bring you into Olam Haba, you should get a smell and a taste and a scenery of, look what it looks like, tzaddikim. Eh? Now we take you out. I have kinnah. Go be jealous now. Take your jealousy. Okay, now you're jealous here. Go be jealous for the rest of your days in eternity. You have taiva? Go have taiva that you wish you could be here. Covet, you wish you could have this covet, huh? Like the tzaddikim. Wallow in your own disappointment of bad midas. That's it. Okay. So says Reb Shlaima Kluger. I would have said a little different. I would have said the following. I would have said, Bali Musar, Silsi Sharam, they talk that these are midas that the person is self-destructive midas. It's his own hand. He's doing it with his own two hands. Kina, taiva, vakovit. You know, the person is created, the Rambam says it clearly. Yosher, man is created healthy. The Rambam says it, it's right. The Rambam says that anyone, mikol bayayla, who wants to be pirish, now you understand how I got the connection, like Levi, he wants to be pirish to worship Hashem, and he's not searching the cheshbeinais, Asher Bikshu Behem, that the people search, and he goes Yashar like Hashem created him. He's called Kaidish Lashem. It's a Rambam, the end of Hilchus Rai. You know what this Rambam is telling us? Man is created Yashar, very healthy. You know what sends him off the deep end? Cheshbeinis. You know what Cheshbeinis are? Kinet Taiv and Kavit. That's what it is. That's what it means. And if you don't have that, then you can live a life of kaidish. That's what the Rambam says clearly, like Levi. Now you see how this mishnah is connected to our parsha. Our parsha is about kedusha. A, you have to appreciate kedusha, but you also have to uproot sickness of kin and tithe and covet. Otherwise, you can't get there. There's no way that a person could reach that. This is called mafsid biyadayim, self-destructive behavior. I would say it even like the Baal Shem would say. I saw my Zaidi one show me a Baal Shem that says, why only these three? These are addictive. These are three things. And there's a whole shaila in the Mefarshim, all three, you need all three together, or even one. The Rambam is mashmi, even one out of the three is Maitzi Sadam and Ailam. Others say you need all three. Others say that you know pshat all three because they all three connected. One leads to the other. Kina leads to taiva, taiva leads to it all. And like the Baal Shem says, it's an addiction. You know what the Baal Shem compares it to? Imagine a person is very thirsty, and he drinks. You brought up the example before. I thought it was very interesting how you had a nevuah before the shir. You know how Coke soda works? You're thirsty. So they give you to drink Coke. All right. Now, the Baal Shem didn't talk about Coke, he talked about salt water. It's not good for you, the Coke, but it quenches your thirst at the moment. But then in it, it has something which more, and more, and more, and more. Till Maitzina Sadam and Ailam. Isn't that the marshal he gets? Interesting, huh?
The same thing.
Baal Shem says it by salt water. He says, Taiva, Kovid, Kina. A little bit, it quenches your thirst at the moment, yeah. But then it's salty. You want more and more and more, till you can die from it. Hakina asina v'tayva kovin. What it is it's addictive. It becomes an addiction, and one leads to the other to the point that's mitzina sadam and ailam. Yeah. So memela, who destroyed whose life? You destroyed your own life. The addict, and which is a big question in today's society, who do you blame? You blame the addict or you blame the addiction? lot of people want to say that it's not the guy's fault. It's always somebody else's fault besides the guy. Oh, you ever notice that? The addiction mumchim, they try to convince the guy, no, it's not your fault. It's your neighbor. It's his fault. It's his fault that you have these addictions. Eh? No, it's really your fault. You started with these addictions, and addictions cause addictions. That's what happens, okay? So you know what we do? We tell you, come inside Gan Eden and see what you could have had and realize how you destroyed what you could have had, and that's Gehenna. According to many Mefarshim, you know what Gehenna is? Rabbi Kaplan speaks about it in great length. It's the pain of guilt of what could have been, and look what happened, and how I myself caused myself not to get what I could have gotten. They bring down, it's famous, that the Netziv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when he finished his Svarim, the Emek Sheli, he made a party. So they asked him, what was the Kavanah, the intent behind the party? So he said, I'll tell you something interesting. Originally, my parents wanted me to become a shoemaker. They said I didn't have the kishrein to be this great learner. I almost listened to them. I almost went to get into the shoe business. And Baruch Hashem, I did it. Now, look how many svarim I wrote, right? Imagine if I would have become the shoemaker. He said, I think he even said he had a dream like this, that all these svarim came in front of the Rabbi Yishlam, in front of him, when he passed away, and he said, do you recognize me? He says, no, who are you? He says, I'm this sefer, I'm that sefer. I'm the svarim that you could have written. I'm the svarim that you have potential to write, but you became a shoemaker. So the Rabbi Yishlam would have turned to me and said, Tzvi Yehuda, his name was Tzvi Yehuda, who's the Emek Sheila? Where is the Emek Sheila? Where is the Nitzel? Where is it all? You could have, this is what you could have had. So Baruch Hashem, I wrote the Svarim. Like this, I saved myself the embarrassment that when I come in Eilam Abba, they're not going to ask me, where are the Svarim? Where are they? What do we see from over here? Like we said from Chaim Valojana, that itself is Gehenna. Could you imagine when they bring in front of you what could have been? When they portray in front of you, they what's the word I'm looking for? When they bring in, and they may march in front of you the potential that you had, where you could have been, what you could have achieved. The guilt and pain, that's Gehenna. This is what it means. We've seen us, Adam and Ailam. We tell you, had it not had all this, do you know how big you could have been? You could have lived a life of Kedusha. What stops the life of Kedusha? The kina, the sinna, all this is the reason why you're not like these great tzaddikim who are sitting in Eilam Haba. And I'd like to add 2 points which I think the Eilam will appreciate very much. What is the word Maitzina Sadam and Eilam? It means, according to some, it means this world, right? According to Rabbi Akiva Eger from Rabbeinu Yain, it means the next world. But according to the Pharisee Yisrael, it means this world. You know, the world was created in a way that every moment and every experience and every connection you have with this world should be pleasant and enjoyable. We say this with the bracha when we see the budding flower in Nisan. Shibari ilanis taivais lehenes behem, that people, Hashem created creation, lehenes, that people should enjoy it. Life is a tremendous enjoyable experience. Brought down the pasuk, Hashemayim shemayim lashem, the oretz nasan. What does it mean, nasan levnei adam? It's tailor-made for all our needs. So why are we so unhappy? Why don't we take pleasure in everything that we do? And you know what the answer is? Hakina, v'asina, v'akavod, ma'itzin es ha'adam, min ha'ilam. You know what takes us out of this world? The world was meant for us to be happy and enjoy. You know why we don't have that experience? Because kinesin and taiva destroys us. That's moitzius ha'adam in oilam. You know what oilam means? A wonderful world. To wake up in the morning and see Rabbi Shalom's chesed that he does for us. And why don't we see all that? It's because the other guy, I don't have what the other guy has. Otherwise you'd be very happy. If there was no other guy that you were jealous of, you'd be very happy with what Hashem gave you. So what stops you from enjoying what you have in this world? And the answer is, I'd like to add one more point. You know, the Rambam says clearly, how does one reach Avas Hashem? And the answer is, says the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, in the beginning, say the Atayra, walk out and see the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's beautiful creation, and right away he'll have love for the Eibishter. You walk out in the street, everything screams, Marabu Masach Hashem. Every leaf, every tree, every life form. What stops us from seeing Hashem in everything? Why don't we wake up in the morning, aren't we overwhelmed with Hashem's beauty and greatness and splendor from the world? And the answer is because we wake up right away with kinna, sin, and taiva. Moitzinas Adam and Ailam, they're in a different theater. I'll give you an example. Imagine somebody comes and he walks by the most beautiful art gallery. But he's in the street, he's walking pissed, right? All of a sudden you hear people talking, wow, look how beautiful it is. Whoa, look at... And the guy says, I don't see anything beautiful about it. You know why, you moron? Because you're not inside. You're looking from the outside. The Rebbe Yishlam's world is beautiful. The Rebbe Yishlam's world is pleasure. The Rebbe Yishlam's world is Hashem's greatness. You know why you don't see it? You're standing on the outside. What do you expect? Moitzinas Adam and Olam. You're in some other building. What do you expect? You want to be in this Olam and see Hashem's greatness? You better not sit in taiva. Moitzin, it takes you that you're what? You're not a participant in the show of the splendor and glory and happiness that we have in this world. You're Moitzinas Adam min Olam. I want to tell you a story, Rabbi. I was zeicha to speak to a very chashva alta mir. He's not here anymore. His name was Rabban Shel Weinhuis. He learned in the mir in Europe. So he told me that he was a bystander to a beautiful conversation that someone had with Rabbi Ruchem. A Talmud came to ask Rabbi Ruchem the following question, Mashgiach, and he said it's not printed anywhere, but he heard it directly from Rabbi Ruchem. He was standing there when the guy came over and asked. They say over there, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter woke up in the morning, would look at the sun and the fact that there's light in the world, and he would begin to dance as he would say the bracha. He would break out in a dance. So much happiness he had that Hashem gives light to the world. How come we're not that far removed from Rabbi Yeruchim in years, from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in years, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Why is it that we don't have any, we just say the bracha like nothing happened? What changed in these 100 years? Rabbi Yeruchim, who was a tremendous Baal Musar, looks at the guy and he says, I'll tell you why. Had the sun only shined for you and not for your neighbor, you would dance extremely ecstatic that you have sunlight and the sun comes up. Just to give you an example, a guy has a fancy car on the block. Right? He's very happy. You know why? Because nobody else has it. Very proud of his car. The minute every guy on the block gets that car, you know, he's already not that excited about his car anymore. That's what Rabbi Ruchem was telling him. The reason why you're not that excited about the sun is because it doesn't only come up for you, it's shared with everybody else. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, because it shined for everybody else, is why he was happy and he danced. You know what Rabbi Yerucham is saying, this Mishnah? Halkina Vasina Vatai Matsinas Adam and Ailam. The sun comes up every morning. Why are we not happy? Why aren't we ecstatic with the chesed of the Eibishter? Because it's for everybody. It's the kinna in us and the sinner. Well, he also... The sun comes up for him. Yeah, but he has a bigger house. Oh, that's no good. Hakina v'hasina. If you live for yourself, me and Hashem, I appreciate. Then Rabbeisai, you would live with happiness and see the honor of Hashem. This Rabbeisai is the second step. I would like to go now to a third step, if you don't mind. On one hand, I tell you that the life of Kedusha and Precious needs that you should appreciate, and it needs to be given over to children in a way that they should appreciate. And I tell you that that's one part of it, but there's also another part, stop life. To appreciate the beauty and glory and the happiness that one can have in life, and to stay away from the sickness. It's a chayli, kinna, sin and taiva. Now I want to show you that there's another part of the understanding of life, which is another reason and another dimension to the simcha and happiness and appreciation of life. One, like I said, that you're Eved HaMelech, the tafkid that was given, the job that was given to us and not to the rest of the world. Two, life itself is what to appreciate. Now I'm going to show you where there's a part of life which once we go delve in deeper, then we'll appreciate that also. And it's called understanding the depth behind the realities in front of us, which is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Today's Lag B'Omer, Rabbi Yisrael. And as such, it is incumbent upon us to talk about Lag B'Omer somewhat. Rabbi Yisrael, today Reb Shimon Bar Yochai did what? What happened today? It's a good question. Some say Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died today. It's not so simple. Not everybody agrees that that's what happened on Lag B'Omer. Some say he left the cave on Lag B'Omer. There are big issues with Lag B'Omer, halachic issues, hashkafic issues, which we'll discuss as quickly as we could. But importantly, just as well, we'll have to touch on these points. There's in Chassidus Sfarim a great deal of talk that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and Moshe Rabbeinu are connected. As a matter of fact, in Mar V'Shemesh it's brought down, Lag B'Omer is Gematria Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same Gematria. Lag B'Omer is Gematria Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the connection from Lag B'Omer to Moshe Rabbeinu? I would say very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah Shebiksav, while Reb Shimon Bar Yochai gave us Sod HaTorah, Nister. He gave us the hidden parts of Torah. And as such, just like there was a Simcha on Kabbalas HaTorah, happiness, there's a happiness on Lag B'Omer representing Rabbi Akiva giving us the Sod HaTorah. If you would like to go further under, you know, as I say, unwrapping further layers of literature on this topic, Mar V'Shemesh talks about how the same day of Lag B'Omer is the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Ushpiza. For example, this year we have Lag B'Omer on a Sunday. You should know Moshe Rabbeinu's Ushpiza is Sunday Sukkos. It's going to be on a Sunday. And he talks about the connection between the Ushpiza and Moshe Rabbeinu. I also would like to point out another interesting observation, which the Torah already speaks about. The same day Lag B'Omer will be the same day Purim. We have Purim this year was on Sunday. Lag B'Omer is as well on Sunday. What is the connection between the Ushpizen of Moshe, Purim, and Lag B'Omer? I would like to tell you more. The Chassam Sofer brings down that actually he didn't hold this whole Lag B'Omer. Chassam Sofer in the Tshuvas writes that as a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons he didn't move to Eretz Yisrael. With all his love that he had to Eretz Yisrael, he refused to move to Eretz Yisrael. Why? He would go to Eretz Yisrael, they would force him to go to Miran on Lag B'Omer He says, and how not? If Yidden are joyously celebrating Lag B'Omer, he would have to go, but he doesn't hold of it. A, he says, we never find a party on the day of someone dying. Somebody who died, we make a party for that. That's a day of celebration. Second of all, they take the clothing and they rip it up and they burn it. You burn clothing, that's how they make the fire. Baltashvus. You're not allowed to take good clothing and burn it up. Okay, so here what we're discussing? We're discussing different facets of life. One is to appreciate a life of Kedusha. One is to appreciate life, period. And one is to appreciate the deeper, under the deeper, what life is really all about. And that's where Lag B'Omer Reb Shimon Bar Yochai come in. What is Lag B'Omer Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? It's interesting, says the Maariv Hashemesh, that the same Moshe Rabbeinu is the gematria of Lag B'Omer. Lag B'Omer is gematria Moshe Rabbeinu. The connection is pretty simple. Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, I would say Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah Shebiksav. He brought it down. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai brought down Nistar HaTorah, Sayyid Zayar. But it seems to be more. There's more when you start unwrapping the layers of literature of Hasidus. It's brought down that the Maor Shemesh points out that the day that we have Lag B'Omer, for example, this year's Sunday, is the same day as Moshe Rabbeinu's Ushpizen. Same day, Sunday. Another observation, the Torah brings out that just the same day as Lag is the day of Purim. For example, this year Purim was on a Sunday. Lag B'Omer is today Sunday. What is the connection between Lag B'Omer and Purim? Moshe Rabbeinu Ushpizen. What's the kesher? Ksam Seifer brings out that he didn't hold this whole Lag B'Omer. What's wrong with Lag B'Omer? He says that, as a matter of fact, that's why he didn't even move to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to move to Israel because they would force him to go to Lag B'Omer, and he doesn't hold of it. Why doesn't he hold of Lag B'Omer? Who says you're supposed to make a party when somebody dies? A Tana dies, we make a party, dancing in the streets. Besides, he says they take clothing, they burn it, that's how they make the big fire. Baltashas. So because of this, he moved out. So why didn't you just move to Eretz Yisrael and not go? He can't. To not be part of what all of Klal Yisrael is to celebrate, he can't do it. So he didn't move to Eretz Yisrael for that. Says the Ksam Sofer, but we do know that you're not supposed to say Tachna Lag B'Omer. So then what is, if it's not for Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, then what is it for? So he says that's the day the Mon began to fall.
The Mon.
What's the connection to the Mon? There's so many, events. Are they just random? Is it just it just happened to be that it comes out that all these things come on the same day? I would say not, Rabbi Yisai. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us pshat. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai taught us that in every pshat, a lot of things that we don't see, there's a lot deeper behind everything. You know, Purim is an interesting thing. We read the Megillah, it's one story. But when you start looking at the Chazal, it's a completely different story. Malachim, and then it's all about angels coming. And do you know how much work that the angels did behind the scenes? Purim and Rashbi is all the same. The Rashbi wanted us to look behind the kusuf, what's written, and to see that there's worlds behind. That the Rebbe Yishlam is from behind, with shlichus and behind what we see. The day of Purim and the day of Lag B'Omer is all the same day, because it's really all the same thing. You know, we wear costumes on Purim. What do we wear costumes? Hidden. Nistar, Esther. It's something. The story of Purim is what we see on the outside is not really what it is. We dress up. That's why we burn the clothing. Clothing is a malbush. It's something that covers what's deeper behind it. The idea of the clothing, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had to sit in a ma'ara without clothing because malbush be'etzem is a covering. And why do we have that covering? Because of chet. The reason we need clothing today is because of Adam Rishon with sin. Malbush is the cover up. It's a cover. Rashbi uncovered. It was to uncover what's without chet. It's deeper. We burn the clothing. Purim. And that's the Ushpizan of Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to your sukkah. If you told somebody Moshe Rabbeinu came to your sukkah, you need to be locked up in a mental institution. Moshe died. Didn't he die? Yeah, physically he died. But what about the Shamba? What's behind that? Moshe Rabbeinu lives on through the Torah. The Ushpizan of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Metzias of an Ushpizan, is through Rashbi. The idea, it's all Zaya. Where do we get the Ushpizan from? It's from the Zaya. That idea that, you know, I once was by a Levaya of a member, of a relative of mine, a very beloved member of my family, my bubby's a nephew, Londinsky. The brother-in-laws of the Nifter sat down after the Levaya, big Rebbe's, big Chashma, Talmid HaChachamim, and they drank L'chaim. They were drinking with bread, with cake, and I was shocked. I couldn't, at the Levaya, you buried him, and then they went and drank L'chaim. So I went to the son-in-law who became Chassidish. He became a Rebbe, the son-in-law of this cousin of this relative of mine, and I told him, Abish, Chvashteinish, how do you sit and drink L'chaim by the, you just buried your father-in-law. I don't get it. How does, and I mean, I don't mind saying the name because there was nothing wrong, the Novominsky Rebbe was the brother-in-law, and he was sitting and drinking like nothing happened. Like he, I said, how does Novominsky Rebbe sit and drink? You're talking about they were like brothers for years. So he said to me that Chaim brings from the Zayar, and Hasidim are very big believers in the Zayar, this particular one especially. Micheder lecheder, death is not a real phenomenon, doesn't really exist. It exists in a physical sense. But it's micheder lecheder, you're going from one door, from one room to another. You're going from this world to the next world. It's, they don't look at death on a physical, they look at what deeper. It's micheder lecheder. So they're happy, they look at it as a hilula. I now understand why it's a hilula, and especially Reb Shimon ben Yochai, because Reb Shimon ben Yochai taught, what is death? Death is physical. Nothing physical by Reb Shimon ben Yochai. He taught us to look past the physical and to see the teichin, the pnimi, what was inside. It's brought down in Svarim that the day of Lag BaOmer is a day that's mesugal for parnasa. The day is a day where we daven or ask for parnasa, and you could get a shefa of brachin in parnasa. Why? What does Reb Shimon ben Yochai have to do with parnasa? My understanding of it is the Gemara tells us that when he left the cave, he saw people working. He burnt them up. How could you work and not learn Torah? Yeah, but in this world, you're supposed to work. Yeah, but Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, I don't live in this world, you see? I'm living in a whole different world than you guys are living in. In my world, you don't have to do that, right? Did I not sit in a ma'ar in a cave for 20 years, not working, not having anything, and the Rebbeinu Shalom sustained me? That's exactly what happened to Reb Shimon ben Yochai, huh? Reb Shimon ben Yochai was saying, yes, you could live in this world, but then you have to live in this world. You're right. If a person wants to, and that's what the Rambam is saying, anyone who wants could be like Levi. Levi didn't work. Maybe sat in the Beis HaMikdash. Is there a point to work? Yeah, if you live that lifestyle, you're going to have to work. Otherwise, you're not going to live. But if you don't want that, and you taka separate yourself, not most can't do it. The Gemara says the very few could do it, Reb Shimon ben Yochai did. But it's doable. It's doable for certain people, like Levi, and therefore they don't have cheshbainis, and therefore they're living in a different... Are you allowed? Each case needs to be judged on a case-to-case basis. Okay, so I want to tell you that I'm not ashamed to say it. I have never worked a day in my life, almost. All right, and I Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shem fed me more than I ever could have expected, more than I deserve. The chesed of the Eibishter. And because I understand that I do nothing, and I'm not out there and I don't have kin and sin and taiva, there isn't a second that doesn't go by during the day I don't see Hashem's love and Hashem's caring and kindness to me. There's not a second that goes by from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep that I don't realize the Rebbein Hashem's chesed. It's so clear in my personal life because I do nothing. I never worked a day in my life almost. You pay me toll and gas. That's the only thing I get paid. There's no money. I don't deal with money. I don't care about money. And Abish has supplied me with. I can't say I'm poor. I'm not a poor person. I have to be a very rich person. And I've never worked a day in my life.
If you're rich, you're happy with your life?
No, I have money in the bank. Yeah. Abish took care of me. I mean, I say it as it is, my friend. The Rebbein Yishlam gave me money in the bank. He gave me a wife that brings in parnosa. I never thought I would ever, I never dreamt of it. I never even, as it was happening, I never even understood that it's happening. Why? I trusted him completely, and I will trust him completely, and everything is from, and there isn't a second that doesn't go by that I don't realize why. And it's simple. Because I trust you and only you. I trust him. I complete trust. And because of that complete trust, I see the ches of the Eibishter constantly. This is why the mun falls on the day of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. You know, mun Rabbi say, mun is from heaven. Mun is not physical bread. It's ruchni stick of bread. With this Rabbi say, I would like to explain. You hear? You know, they take little children for haircuts. By Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's kever today. Why? So it's brought from the Ari. The Ari was the one who was... And the reason is because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai al-Pi Zohar explained that hair is Yetzahara. It comes from the Zohar. The hatred, I don't know if that's the right word, but our sin to hair, that Jews don't hold that you should have hair, comes from the Zohar. I would like to explain it to you in layman's terms, so to speak. Here is growth. Man is born with it. He grows. But it's natural growth. You do nothing for it. It grows al piteva. As a matter of fact, that's why it's the simon of godless. What is the simon of maturity, of growth? Is here. Two Cyrus is a simon of a person grows. But that's what? Teva. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, Teva. Teva is a very dangerous thing because it's not who you are. It's who your body is. But who are you? Who are you? Okay? More than that. You know, how come Goyim spend hours on hairstyle? Thought about it? It's a pelvic thing. I remember when they talked about Romney, when he was supposed to be he was running for president, he used to take these $500 haircuts. How many hours would it take Ray to cut five pieces of hair? I don't get it. I'm saying, think about it. It's they spent styles and hair. It's more than any other part of the body. Why? And you know what the answer is? There's a kaychi v'aitz in the other, and people feel my hair. Why? Because it's the ultimate teva. It grows tivius. Shachatz, it's called gaiva. There's a gaiva in here. Spiritually, and I have news for you, the more a guy is empty spiritually on the inside, the more beautiful hair he's going to have on the outside. Just for a piece of information. Even intellectual gaiim don't go for these big hairstyles. I don't want to talk about Avshalom because that's Tanakh already. And what caught him at the end?
The hair.
I don't want to talk about Avshalom. Avshalom is people in Tanakh. We don't touch that. I'm just saying you see it clearly. The hair. The more the guy's empty on the inside, the more he's big with his hair on the outside. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was teaching. Look at the pnimius. Look at the insight. You know what a ma'ar is? A ma'ar is a cave, right? Can I ask you a question? The whole world, there's a whole world commerce, life, and it stands on two people stuck in a cave?
No choice, though.
You didn't hear what I just said. The whole world stands on two people who are stuck in a cave without clothing, and they're the ones, yeah, they're the whole world.
How long better for you? One person.
That's exactly what I was getting at. That was the next thing I wanted to get to. The Gemara tells us, the Chanina dialogue b'kav charub. It's exactly what am I trying to bring out? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's insight that it could be one guy, one tzaddik. Tzaddik yisoid olam. Yisoid is about that it could be one tzaddik. The whole, how can it be? What I mean, come on, there's a whole world out there. Look deeper. When you look deeper and you understand life and you understand apizayar, it's shayach. One person. The whole commerce, chanina bani. The whole world, two people are sitting in a cave. And with this, I think, and I would like to add a hergish that I have thought about it. 70 years ago, they put us in caves and ovens, thinking that no Jew will ever remain after this. We come back with little children by the thousands. We're here. Could be that's the biggest ness of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was put into a cave for 20 years. Who would think he would ever survive? Who expected to hear from Reb Shimon Bar Yochai again? Him and his son came out and shined up the whole world. 70 years after putting us in ovens, we come back thousands of children. This, Rabbi Yisai, is the Ma'ara, the cave. And from the cave, light, and continuously from generation to generation. Point. Torah wants us to have understanding and appreciation. When you understand, when you appreciate, then you're happy in this world. You appreciate your life, you appreciate your tafkid. As Taka b'zayicha hilula d'Rav Shimon Bar Yochai b'zchus b'zayicha Taka Eretz Yisrael b'mheira b'yameinu.
Amen. You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.